Good morning, beloved brethren. It's a joy to have all that are present and to welcome those who are coming from overseas. And we want to welcome those from United States, Wayne, New Jersey, Brother John, Brother ML. I'd like to welcome those who are coming also from Long Island, Brother Dave and Alexis. And Brooklyn, yes, we have Brother Viv and Sister Hilma. Welcome. From London, England, we have Brother Paul and Sister Patsy. And I wonder sometimes where they're coming from. Brother Brian and Sister Denise, very warm welcome. And all those who are coming from Santa Cruz and various other places, we welcome you. Yes. It's a privilege to be gathered unto the Lord and to learn from Him. And so this morning, my task is to speak a little, and the Lord as a captain. Kindly turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And I'll read verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him of whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The Lord came here as a captain of our salvation. The word captain, Mr. Darby used the word leader, but also is the idea of the commander-in-chief, the one who has supreme authority, who everyone follow. And in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it is the word the author, and also in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 is a prince of life. It's the same word. But it shows in each of these contexts how great that person is. And the awesome responsibility that is upon such a one's shoulder. I have a little experience in these things as one night. Well, one day in Black River, when I was just about 16 years old, many persons, it was a festival, I was not yet saved, and people from Great Bay, boats from Great Bay, boats from White House, boats from Belmont, all gathered up at Black River for a race to see which community has the fastest boat. Now, for about 3 years in a straight, there was one boat that always take home the prize. And this day in question, as that boat was as it were hidden, and as soon as it show it bow, two other boats lock on to it, whether purposely or accidentally, I don't know. And that boat capsized, and other two boats, and there was a confusion in the water. And my friend who was in that fast boat, I could see that his head was burst and was bleeding. And a friend of mine named Hastings and I jumped over off the bridge into the water to help him up. And afterward, we turned over the boat and bailed out the water. And by the time everything to settle, he was off to hospital and so on. And then we have to take home that boat to White House. And it was now dark. We left Black River when the sun already set. And it was now dark, Sometimes I am at the stern with the engine. Sometimes I'm my friend in the bow. Sometimes I'm in the bow navigating and my friend at the wheel. And it was an awesome responsibility that I felt that day and that night to take that boat to White House. But through all the rocks and the reef, the Lord helped us to get through and we arrived at White House safely. And when we speak of the captain, is the one who know the way and have the ability and to conduct his people through. The purpose of the Lord here is to bring many sons to glory. Not a few, but many sons will be brought and already been brought to glory. And what a day that will be when we all arrive and that happy shore, so to speak, in glory, following our great captain. In one of our hymns, it is said in hymn number 192, it says, "Great captain of salvation, now crowned with highest glory, joyful we raise our songs of praise and lowly bow before thee. We worship and adore thee, each heart and tongue confessing, worthy to reign the Lamb once slain, of honor, power, and blessing." Yes, indeed, the captain of our salvation. Now, before he take his seat on high, there are a number of things that he has accomplished on the earth. And I just want to mention a few of these things that he accomplished on the earth. In the same book of Hebrews, chapter 1, it said in verse 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He made purification for sin before he take his seat. And as I speak of the captain, I could not leave out this. But in the book of Joshua, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Verses 13 to 15. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the house of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said, What says my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's house said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." It was a time now to attack Jericho. They have compassed the city. And it was now to take that formidable enemy that is standing in their way to the promised land. And the captain of the Lord's house appeared. Who is this captain of the Lord's house, of the angel's army? It is the Lord Jesus. Joshua recognized him when he says, "I am neither, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." He bow and he worship. He worship him, and this man did not stop him. You notice in the scripture, when prophets and men bow down to worship an angel, that the angel would say, "Don't do it." But this person received worship. It is no other person than the Lord Jesus Christ, who who came to captain the armies of Israel into the land, their promised land. And we have that blessed one came down here in person, took on flesh and bones and blood. He came down here in person and accomplished purification. That is one of the first things I like to mention that he accomplished. Because we were an impure before God and, of course, before one another. Although in some people's eye, they think that they are pure. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, we are told. But God knows that from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, there is no soundness, but bruises and sores and putrefying sores that have not been dressed. And it is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been healed. He made purification for us. In chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him." The Lord Jesus is the author, the originator of eternal salvation. The salvation that you and I have, Jude referred to it as a common salvation. That is, it come unto you and I. But it is an eternal salvation. You cannot lose it. God won't take it back. We are forever secure in his hands. We are in the Father's hands and we are in the Son's hands. And where is the Son? We are told that our life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And where is Christ? Christ is sitting down at the right hand of God in heaven. I dare any man or any devil to go up to heaven and search heaven and find Christ and go into Christ, go into God, take out our life and bring it down to hell. No man can do that. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And God is sitting, and Christ is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. So he has secure for us eternal salvation. We must not slight it. It is a salvation that angels desire to look into. That angels are studying these things, seeing that the Son of God came down to do this work as the captain of our salvation. He secured it. In chapter 9, we are also told in verse 12, chapter 9 of Hebrews, said in verse 12, I read from verse 11, "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, he has entered in once into the holiest, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Everything about the Lord is eternal. Now we know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. It is eternal salvation. It is eternal redemption. The purging is once for all. We are eternally purged. I'm not saying that we won't pick up defilement as we go through this desert scene. But he that is washed needeth not save, but to wash his feet. So, once for all, purge. And we are purged forever in his sight. We have that the Lord Jesus is made unto us righteousness sanctification and wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. This is what he's made for us. Verse 30 it is. It said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All of these things he have procured for us through his death. And, so that now there is no room, no place for boasting. All that we are, all that we shall be, is accountable to the captain of salvation. He's the one who has won it all for us. And he has more victories that we can enjoy. But just to mention that in bringing many sons to glory is the Father's house. He is going to bring us, he has secured the Father's house for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare that place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Father's house. That's where he's bringing the many sons. Into that place where God lived before he made the world. Into that place of light sublime. Into that place where no creature cannot approach unto. That is the place he's going to bring us. And we shall behold his glory. Creature has never entered there. But through the riches of his grace, he's bringing us into the Father's house of delight. Now, back to his triumph. The triumph of Christ. The triumph of the captain. The Lord, Satan, we are told, when he tempted him in the wilderness where there was nothing to eat and he was now hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Sure, the Son of God can do that. But the Lord says, it is written. Last night we have three, it is written. We have three, it is written also in the Gospel of Matthew. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He took him upon the pinnacle of the temple and showed and said, no, you cast yourself down. I mean, nothing can happen to you. You're a Son of God. If you're a Son of God, cast yourself down. Angel will bear you up. But the Lord says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then Satan took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. That is what characterizes the kingdom of the world. A moment of time, you can view it. It passed away. It passes before his eyes in a moment of time. For all eternity, the kingdom of God will be relevant and studied, and we will not fully understand everything about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world is a moment of time. It's fleeting. And he showed it to him in a moment of time and said, all of this I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Satan passed his place. So the Lord not even argue with. He said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You're rude. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Lord triumph over him there in the wilderness and the temptation. And in the garden, when he was so pressed, like a grape being squeezed. Satan, no doubt, come to him in those hours and would want to try to get him to give up. But he said, he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he defeated Satan there again. And across they taunted him, Satan and his emissaries, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." But he stayed there. It was not, we sometimes sang, the nails that hold him there. Love bound thee to the altar, the Father's love on thine. For us, O peerless victim, that we with thee might shine. It was love that held him there. Love for the Father and love for you and I. And he would not come down until he cried, "It is finished." We had that last night. And then he bowed his head in full control, the captain of salvation. He, in full control, he bowed his head and died. "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." Who can do that? The captain of our salvation did it. He dismissed his breath when he is ready. When he accomplished the will of God at the cross. He was not there gasping for breath. He bowed his head. "It is finished." Our brother say, that is the only time he could find, the work was done, so he bowed his head. Yes, indeed. He bowed his head. The work is done. Done by God's beloved Son. At the tomb, Satan made sure that the tomb was sealed. That watchers were there. And Roman soldiers, temple watchers and Roman soldiers. And they say, "Yeah, we got him now. Got him where we want him. Can't come out." And the third day, they not even know when he came out. He came out without they even knowing it. And after that, he sent an angel to roll away the stone and show them that inside there is empty. The tomb is open not to let out Jesus, but to let us see that inside there is empty. "I am the resurrection and the life," he says. And he don't need anybody to roll away stone for him to come out. He came out, and then for your sakes and mine, the stone is rolled away. We can see that our captain is alive. Our captain is risen from the dead. He's alive and he's well. Now, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And Satan couldn't keep him into his domain of death. Who has the key of death? But you know something that the Lord says? The Lord says, concern the strong man and the stronger than the strong man. That, you see, when a strong man host is secure, you know, you have to kind of weaken him. And then a stronger than the strong man enter in and spoil his goods. The Lord Jesus is a stronger than the strong man. He's stronger than Satan, who have the key of death. The Lord Jesus took away that, if you will, in a sense. And he, in Revelation, could say, "I am he that liveth and became dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen." And has the keys of death and of hell. Stronger than the strong man. He came out triumphant over death and hell with the keys. And he could show John, "I have the keys." "I have the keys." Yes. And John, no doubt, rejoiced to see him. We are told that John said, "I heard a great voice behind me." And I often wonder, how was that voice great? Was it that it was loud and thunderous? Or was it a familiar voice that he called great? And I like to think that it's a familiar voice. And that was a great voice for John. I heard a great voice behind me. And when I turned, I saw. But only thing, if he could not be as familiar with him as before. I fell at his feet as dead. What a captain. He left no soldier behind. John was in the Isles of Patmos, and he go and he visited his lonely soldier there and encourage him and recommission him to write. Don't be afraid to write and send these letters. And John did so. In the ear, as the Lord Jesus ascended up, Satan and his house, who are the prince of the poor of the earth, have to scatter. They couldn't stand in his way. They have to scatter at his present. A cloud receive him out of us, out of our sight. That is man's sight. But the Lord Jesus went up triumphantly. And he is coming back triumphantly to receive us in the air, and no demon can prevent it. You know, I was speaking of the stronger than the strong man in Matthew 12. But I like also to go to the Valley of Elah. I'd just like us to remember that incident there. And then, because Israel on one side and the Philistines on the other side. And there was that valley. And the big giant come out, cursing Israel, challenging them. And God sent a little boy out there. God sent a boy out there. You know, I sometimes have to laugh how God do things. He's there with all his muscle and have to have persons carrying his weapon. He has so much weapons that he can't carry them. He have to have others helping to carry them. And he fight in style. Give me a sword, a sword. Give me a spear, a spear. Give me a bow, a bow. He's fighting style, man. And he challenged David. David went in the name of the Lord God of Israel, who he was defying. And there in that valley, David met him. Our true captain met our enemy in the valley and defeated him. In resurrection power, and David appeared before Saul and the people of Israel with the evidence in his hand. He cut off the giant's head and showed it. Openly, we are told that the Lord Jesus triumphed over all these enemies and powers. Openly. He showed it openly. If we turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I will read a few verses from here on. Verse 15, chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is what our captain did. He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of it. Triumphing over them openly. The Lord Jesus is victorious over high-ranking powers. And not only earthly principalities, but heavenly principalities in the air. He triumphed over all of these powers and satanic powers. In chapter 2 of Hebrews and verse 14, we have also where he triumphed over the enemy as well. It says, chapter 2, verse 14, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Here he destroyed him that had the power of death. In John 3, the epistle of John 3, he destroyed his works. So he destroyed him and he destroyed his works. The Lord Jesus. You know, the prophecy was that the serpent shall bruise his heel, and he would bruise the serpent's head. Oh yes, the serpent bruises his heel, but the Lord Jesus, our captain, have strike one fatal blow, and that old serpent, his head is crushed forever. One kick, his head crushed forever. And so he's buzzing around us and so on, but he has no power over the child of God. Have no power at all. If he has any power, is we give it to him. And we are told not to give place to the devil. But he is defeated. He is defeated. He is destroyed. His work is destroyed. We don't have to be in fear. Only live for Jesus. Only live for him. And we have all the enablement at our disposal to do so. Yes, he destroyed the works of the devil, and he destroyed him. And he set the captive free. He freed the captives. This is what our leader, our hero, our captain have done. We who were all our lifetime subject to bondage are set free. He burst the bars of death and hell for every one of us. You don't have to ask a child of God where you're going, you know. Every child of God is going to heaven. That is our destiny. The Lord has set us free. That's what we're told in verse 14, that he set us free, and he is bringing many sons to glory. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. The Apostle Paul is praying, and these are some of his desire for the saints. He says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Beloved, the Lord Jesus has ascended up. And I like the King James Version on this. In chapter 4, we are told that he ascended up far above all heavens. Not just above the heavens, We are told in Hebrew that he passed through the heavens. And he ascended up far above all heavens. We